Hey, it's the Fosters After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're breaking down Season 5, Episode 5, Cult Telling. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
If you're feeling down, no.
Hello, hello. Hey. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Good. Nice to see everybody.
Likewise.
Thank you so much. So we're doing the Fosters After Show, as we said, episode called Telling. Let's do some intros and we'll get right to it. I'm Jeffrey Masters. I tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
I'm Hannah Pritchard. I tweet from at the Hotshot Dude.
I'm Jillian Leff. I tweet from at Jillian Leff.
I'm Stephanie Georgie. I tweet from at Stephanie Georgie.
Fantastic. So I want to start first with the barbecue.
Yes,
let's.
Tess came over. She invited them over to their house. It ended up being at the Foster's house. Mm-hmm. It's a very convenient plot device not to have to build another set.
Mm-hmm.
True. Oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
Oh,
are we ever going to see the inside of the house?
Maybe.
Not if the budget isn't allowed for it.
Mm-hmm. Touché.
Thank you. I just think they have that backyard. It's already built.
Yeah, why not?
Come on now.
It's such a nice backyard, too. So
it is. Yeah. I have to say, though, that Tess's husband, who has a name, and Tess's son, Logan, I think that the three of them together, it's my favorite introduction of new characters to the show yet.
Me too.
I agree.
They just add such a fun, different energy, and the things that they create in other characters, be it Mariana's fascination with Logan, or Steph's, like, tumbling around with words around Tess, like, it's so fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
Just
agreed.
Love them.
I thought you were going to say that they all were attractive, when you were, like, naming them all. I'm like, I know, I'm very good looking, aren't they? Like, father and son, very attractive.
Definitely a family.
They're super cool. I think they fit in well. I also think it's funny that they're from Baltimore. So the way that I would look at it is that even though Baltimore has the Blue Light District, besides that, it's a very conservative area. The East Coast. I say that because of her comment when she says, you're so courageous to live an alternative lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then hit Lena.
And her charter school feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that alternative lifestyle probably obviously was about being gay, but I think it also pinpointed to like raising a family of foster kids and biological kids. That being said, it's still offensive AF for any of those things. It's just alternative. I thought we were like beyond that kind of word.
Oh, totally. So, but she's clearly not.
Of course. I think it's like, I think it's important to see people who are quote unquote woke who are still like fucking up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I was so happy with that.
And we're also, like, on this show, we're always, like, loving all of the positive language. And I almost felt like at that moment, like, the bubble was popped. And I was like, oh, wait, this is real. This is reality. Like, we're like, okay, yeah.
That's
not always kumbaya here. And everyone's supporting everybody. And so I get that.
And the thing is that she didn't mean anything by it. But you just forget when you're not living in it, you don't see that anywhere.
Right.
You rarely see it. So as much as someone may say something like that, you're just like,
yeah.
And even by people who are accepting, you still hear microaggressions all the time.
Right. But here's the thing, though. What I love is that she said, you're courageous to do that, and then just kind of went on with her dishes. And she didn't even notice that she offended. She didn't even think twice about it, nor do I think she meant to offend anyone by it.
I think she thought she was giving a compliment.
Like, she did.
Like, 100% fully.
She absolutely
did. And by saying it, I think she thought that she was being alternative by accepting it.
Probably.
Right.
Probably. Which was, like, a little terrifying, but I feel like that happens all of the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Because remember we were saying, I'm like, it's so great that everything is so normal, but you forget we're not in Middle America. We're in Happy California. It's just very different everywhere else.
Here's my thing. Are we actually going to see their relationship being explained? Like, the four of them talk about Steph and... What is her name?
Tess's
relationship.
Yeah,
because right now, Steph lied to the husband. And Lena really knows, but she doesn't know in depth, obviously. But she knows, like, there was something there. So then are we going to have a conversation with Steph and Tess that's like, so there was an attraction between us?
Totally.
Like, I would love to see that. I hope we get to see that.
Either the two of them used to sneak off into confession and hook up, because that was a little funny thing that they mentioned during their talk and dinner, or something never happened but Steph fell for her.
I think something never happened.
Yeah,
and that Steph fell for her?
Yeah, I think that if something had happened, Tess would know why. There wouldn't be uncertainty. There,
yeah. Unless Tess felt as if she was welcoming about it. Like, she didn't make Stephanie feel any type of way, so she wouldn't understand why she wouldn't have been okay with it.
Maybe.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because she sees that Steph's okay with it now, so why wasn't she okay with it then? That could have bothered her.
Right. And also, Tess has no idea about Steph and her father's situation and all the stuff that they went through post-Tess, like when they had their friendship breakup. So I think that maybe all of that stuff will need to come out for... Because remember, like, Steph's dad was unsupportive completely of this, like, potential lesbian in his household. It wasn't even, like, she was exploring or she was thinking about it and it's like, oh, no, 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 no. So hopefully that gets talked about because I think it would be important, but sort of like the unsaid is obviously really bothering. And I think that that's why Tess keeps coming over and tries to make an effort because she's like, I need to know everything. Right. I need to get to the bottom of this. I want to talk to you. That's why she comes over with a bottle of wine. Like, hello. It's like, do you really need to invite them over for dinner? No. Right?
That's
true. Like, yeah, they're neighbors. Yeah, they're friendly. It's a catch up. But like, you want something. It's just like Mariana wanted Logan. It's like she's looking for something.
But if that's the case, then I do think something absolutely happened between them, and that the reason why Tess wants to find out is because she sees not only a woman that she's with, but a woman who may share similar qualities to her, being mixed, you know what I'm saying, like a type and everything. So she's thinking, what was I think it's more like a what was wrong with me, which is kind of weird because she's like with her husband and her child. But
yeah, I don't think the ulterior motives go so far as to that. I think it's maybe, if it's anything, it's that she was hurt in high school by Steph distancing herself, and now she's trying to make it up to her and like just be her friend. I just also think that it's very exciting and enticing to have next door neighbors that you're friends with and that you do dinners with, and that's exciting, especially if they don't know anybody in this new city.
And I think it's important too. I mean, not like, I feel like movies like back in the day, or just like back in the day in general, people with their neighbors were a lot cooler. Like, that was normal. Hey, can I borrow some sugar?
Yeah, I'm jealous of it. Did you see that in this family dinner compared to the last one? Mariana was now sitting next to Logan. She's good. I hope everyone at home is taking notes.
Especially at the party when she said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, he's with me. Sorry, not sorry.
For real.
Where's my beer?
So good.
But that would have been a strong moment for him to be like, hey, I got a girlfriend, because that was like very clear.
He probably thought it was cute, and a guy is not, he's gonna want the attention from a cute little girl like that. Nothing's happened yet for him to have had to say that.
It's true, but then it did surprise me though how like lightly he let her know like that he had a girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Because like the best way to do it.
Because I think that he could have been able to tell that Mariana clearly had a thing for him. So I would imagine that he'd be like, hey, I can tell that you may like me, but I have a girlfriend. But he was like just that. Like, man, my girlfriend fine.
He did it in the best way possible, I think.
He's testing the water. Yeah. His girlfriend's long distance. He's 17.
Yes.
Who knows what that means in terms of commitment and, like, dependence. And so he's like, I don't know, this hot girl lives next door. Let me just see if we can click.
And she's a cute little Latina. Agreed. Get out.
People are crazy when they're 17 and are like, yeah, we'll try long distance and then, you know, we'll do that until we can both go to college together. I'm like, you're 17. Just break up.
Oh,
sorry, but that's my feeling.
You know, strong feelings.
I agree and disagree. I agree because because when I was in college, I was like, I love you, but I'm going to college next year. So
right, deuces. That's what I did. That's what I did. I was like, at my graduation party, I was like, so this has been fun.
Shut up.
But the reason why I say that is because then I went to college and I got into touch with Elijah Carter, shout out. And he was younger than me, but he was still in San Diego. And I remember I was just in love, and I started a distance relationship while I was at school.
After
I ended my relationship, I went to school, and like even the people that were trying to holler and everything, they just didn't make me feel the way Elijah did.
Well, they should move to LA. That's now's hilarious. The chance. Okay, well, before we move off of Logan, though, I want to say major brownie points for kissing his mom goodbye.
Yeah! Oh, yeah, I saw that too. Good. He better.
That was so sweet.
That was cute.
And it's also just warmed my heart because, unfortunately, Jude has passed away.
He was Where is Jude? Where is he?
Hey, Jude, where are you? Did he die?
No. In the preview, I saw that.
Yeah, there was a flash of Jude in the preview.
And his hair is long. We're about to have the same style.
But last season, we'd get like, he's at summer camp, or he's at Noah's, or like, he's making cookies in the basement.
We haven't
had even acknowledgement of his existence. Right?
He's the younger one. He has Noah. He's like stable right now.
He's studying in his room.
That's true.
He's, I'm playing his, you know what? He's video gaming. Remember? Oh! He's stuck on them. That's why we haven't seen him.
So if you're watching live, which we're doing on Tuesday at 6, it's currently 6:20 p.m. PST. If you're watching live, tweet at Jillian, mm-hmm. at Jillian Leff, and tell us where you think Jude is.
Actually, at Alan TV Guy actually created those milk jugs with like the missing and he has it. You guys, we can't zoom in on the camera right now, but I'll retweet Alan's tweet so you can see it. Very funny. Same thought, Alan.
Is he okay?
It's wonderful. It is a beautiful milk carton with Jude's face on it. Alan, did you do that? Did somebody else do it?
He's inspired by Jeff's
Photoshop. I was looking for when Steph was out like on the street with like the kids who were homeless. I was like, oh, are we gonna find Jude here? Is that where
he is? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll figure it out later. Yeah, I really loved before we move off the dinner though. I loved having the different Bonnie moments. We discussed Lena and Tess in the kitchen, but also Steph and the husband in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Or no, on the outside.
Yeah.
And I liked having them to explain about why Courtney's here and why Gabe is here. Yeah. And why like Anna sometimes is here. And I think that having Courtney there and having Gabe there living in the garage, it's a really, I was talking about the device earlier of having them back at the house for dinner. Mm-hmm. Having this studio apartment in the garage is an amazing device to have all these characters in the same vicinity.
Yeah, you're right.
And for when real. It's this crowded, they're always stepping on top of each other, and that makes exciting TV.
Oh, it completely.
Yeah.
Like, without overconvoluting the storyline.
You're right. Because like I'm thinking about like a Friends, which I can't complain about. But like a Friends TV show, like obviously we love them, but they're always in each other's apartments. And sometimes for not a good reason, but there's always good reason for him to be in his house.
So we have some suggestions as to where Jude may be.
I'm so excited.
My name is Keely, said Jude is probably getting high on another boat. Fair. He could be. Sarah Fortin said maybe Jude is bonding with Taylor and Noah. Also plausible.
Oh, together. Great.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Nice Jayla said he's at Noah's house doing capital. God knows what. I mean, listen, he's a teenage boy. I feel like maybe, you know, but really I'm excited to see him in the preview next week.
If we see him.
Yeah.
He's up in his bed playing his video games.
You never know. Was anybody surprised by the wine shaming that we're accusing Steph of?
I'm against wine shaming, first of all. Second of all, because I looked at them and I was like, I feel like sometimes I'm Steph when I drink wine. Yeah.
Well, but that's because everyone is Steph when they drink wine. It's called liquid courage. That's understandable. I mean, yes, if that's not normal, if like you're used to a glass of wine, but if homegirl's like, oh, let's have another. However, it was like a dinner time. Like, I feel like that's not fair too, because when you have company with another adult and they're never around other adults, why wouldn't you want to enjoy yourself that way?
I think it's just also the fact that it's a way to escape something, a problem that you may have. And obviously the conversations that her and Lena had this episode, last episode, Lena feels like there's this heavy weight on her shoulders to make sure that she's making the decisions. And at the top of the episode, Steph had said, you know, no. Yeah. And Lena just wants support. And I think that because they're sort of disjointed, because sometimes they do get that way, but they mamas always find their way back to each other. I think that she was just looking for a way to get away. And it was funny because when the two sets of parents were having conversations, they were kind of like mirroring each other. Mm-hmm. Inside, they were super nurturing.
Yeah.
Outside, you could sort of see the similarities between Steph and the husband, and being distant from, you know, disjointed, and that whole garage comment that Tess said about the husband being distant and away.
Detached.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that was also reflective of her going into work when she was hung over AF. Like, mm-hmm. who wants to do that? She's just avoiding.
I agree with the reasoning, but it's just very new for us to see that. And they've made a big point about it this episode. And I just wondered if this is going to be a storyline that we are creating, or there's also the possibility that Lena is also stressed and is identifying the wine as an issue, that, even if it's not an issue, but she's like, it's easy to blame.
But also, was Stephanie's father an alcoholic?
I don't think so. But Mike is.
Well, it doesn't matter about Mike. My more reasoning would be, if had her father been, then I would understand why Lena would be like, don't turn into your father, because she'd have it in her genes, you know what I'm saying? Like, she'd have the potential of that. But I think it's more Lena's stress, and it's making her mad because Steph seems to be okay with it. But if I was Lena, I'd be like, yeah, I'm sure you're okay with it with all those glasses of wine you keep drinking. Yeah. Yeah. Especially for one who doesn't drink as often. You know, that like, for it's just not your go-to, you get more irritated.
Yeah.
The same way when people smoke, like if they go to that more often.
And
why
when
are you
you're
doing
stressed
that all the time?
Out, though, you're looking at something to attack somebody for, course, and it's easy to say, like, I don't want to discuss this when you're drunk. It's
right.
Like, but I'm not drunk yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. I was really thrown off by Steph lying about her day off and going to work.
Yeah, that was a little... Well, that was very out of character for her.
Right.
But I also noticed the similarities between her behavior and Callie's behavior, who she was very critical of a couple episodes ago about getting your life together, stop like snooping around, stop putting your nose in business that shouldn't be. And there she is trying to steal this guy's computer off of his desk. Like, it just, I don't understand.
It was like the Boo Radley storyline 2.0.
Yes, it was. And I just, I don't get it.
But people are addicted to that. That's Stephanie's character. Also, she, that's what Lena said before. She's like, I hope you don't disappear, meaning Steph is getting, like, so addicted, like, to her detective work and stuff. So it's like, calm down.
I know. And, well, that is also her escape. You know, when home is stressed, she can go and, like, literally save the world. Mm-hmm. I have to say, though, I'm really, really happy that... So it was cool to see Cole there. Yeah. When this is a new storyline that we're going to be following throughout the season, it seems like. I'm really happy that the homeless youth that we saw were very queer presenting. Yeah. Because 40% of homeless youth are LGBTQ.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Isn't that a massive number?
Mm-hmm. That's a huge number. Why? That's so sad, actually. Why?
Yeah, because kids are thrown out because they're in unsafe environments.
Oh, for
and, yeah, it's a massive issue. That the 40% is huge. So, you know, they were never like, this one's trans, this one's queer. But
right.
Like,
it doesn't matter, you saw.
Yeah, like, they present it that way.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And now we're going into child pornography.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't.
And what did they say? I forget the word that she used about sex.
Survival sex.
Yeah. And I had never heard of that before and immediately just like sent that like chill.
Yes, like, because with the scene with Andy, with them saying like, I would rather do this a couple nights a week and sleep in a bed than on the street.
Right.
So matter of fact, how do you argue with that? It just, I mean, there's so many like laws against like sex work, and sometimes it's the only device that you have to use to like to make money.
Yeah.
And to make ends meet. And it's devastating.
Yeah.
But also it is a choice. And like, and if you make that choice, that's okay.
Yeah.
This is a very political storyline combined with legal immigration, which we'll get into as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just interested to see where they're going with this.
That's so sad.
Very
I
sad.
Can't, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Steph is convinced that that guy has something to do with it.
Which wasn't that guy familiar to anybody else?
I was
we
that
know
he was,
him.
Yeah, Troy, the killer.
He definitely was.
That was the one that he worked with. He's like, oh, he doesn't work anymore. He was looking for you. They worked at the same car wash place.
I think that's right. That's right, right? Everybody.
He had a car wash shirt on.
Yeah. And everybody remembers him.
He looked like the same guy.
Oh, that was that guy.
But I'm curious as to why that they would bring that character back in this storyline. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Is so disconnected
Patrick Malloy,
from Troy.
By the way. Not, yeah, that's his name.
It is
Patrick.
Him?
Patrick Malloy.
But I think that's interesting that they brought him back in such something that is so different than Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree.
You know?
I mean...
Are they going to connect that?
I wonder if they will connect it because we did also see Steph yell at the detective.
No, it's not.
That case. So this could be all the same issue.
Yeah, that's true.
As well.
They brought both of those characters lined up with Troy's storyline back in this episode. So they probably will.
Yeah. Steph got in that detective's face. So like, I feel like something could be like still in the mix from that.
Yeah. God, that dude gets on my nerves though so much. Even just seeing his face on the show.
Yeah,
like,
it's not connected. It's not connected. He's just the guy from the car wash.
Okay. So. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be super touchy. I don't even know how to...
It's because Troy cried those good tears that last episode he filmed. They're trying to find a way to bring him back in. You know what I mean?
He cried those good tears.
He did. They were probably like, oh, shoot, we're going to have to find a way to write him back in because...
Yeah, right.
That was good.
We'll see.
We'll see.
So let's talk about this Shakespearean party where everybody was there and everyone had a secret to share. Or not share, I guess. Everyone was feisty in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was that why Mariana and Callie didn't want to tell each other about the party? What was that reason?
I thought that was the perfect, you guys know, and I say this every episode, I love the dynamics, right? That is just, that's sibling... that's just how siblings are. Like, no, I don't want her to be around, and she's going to tell mom, and it's just, like, too close for comfort. Sometimes you need that privacy.
Oh, and you can just get away with it easier.
You can get away with it easier. Mariana has a little bit of a big mouth. She's like, I don't need this girl to start tweeting about something or about, like, you know, throwing me under the bus about something.
Oh, so it's purely just teenagers who want to do things on their own.
I 100% think that that's what it was. But that was the beauty of it, because that's true. Really, you're going to tell me that entire family is homies all the time?
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And they always don't need to roll in a pack.
And especially when they all see each other, like, oh, I thought, you know, like, when you get mad, or like, what are you doing? Like, I love when they get mad at each other, because they're allowed to. Family, you're allowed to get mad at, and everything's okay still.
Agreed.
Okay, okay. Do we think, let's take a vote, and let's go around the table starting with Hannah. Do we think that petition guy is being set up as Callie's new love interest?
Yeah, totally, in some capacity. And oddly, like,
man, she can't catch aside, a break.
I know, seriously, aside from his height, like, him and Aaron have a similar vibe. Yeah,
they sure do.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That I'm like, are you guys seriously going to do her like that? Like, or do Aaron like that? Bring on a dude that looks like him but taller? Like, rude. A little bit rude.
Thank you. Jillian, what do you think?
I disagree, because I think that woke bae doesn't have time for a bae.
Yeah,
I think he just is, like, really focused on
his, saving the earth.
His efforts.
He's a college student.
He's a college student and, like, whatever. And also, like, let me just say this. Not every guy that might look at a girl some way should automatically be, like, shipped with them, or, like, we're going to think, like, oh, they're together. I just feel like, you know, maybe
I disagree. This is a teen drama.
He had a cute moment. He wanted to look at her a little longer and then make a cute little...
He wanted to cut her hair longer? What?
No, he wanted to look at her a little longer.
Oh, look at her.
And then make a point to say something to her when it was unnecessary, because he was speaking to everyone as a group.
Here's what I think. So I think that they're doing great things with the Aaron storyline, and I think that it would be extremely disappointing as both a viewer and a fan of the show...
And Aaron.
...to throw away what they have going, because what I think they have going is fantastic, just as we were about to get into the meat of what goes into that relationship. Mm-hmm. They're gonna go and they're gonna throw it away with this other guy. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I think that we'll see maybe someone try to holler at Callie again, and Callie finally be in a position of, like, with AJ, when the first person to come at her was Aaron, and she went with it. So now we're gonna see Callie stand her ground and say, actually, I am in something committed right now.
Yeah,
and be proud of.
I mean,
and defend her relationship with
I'm
her,
team
with Aaron.
Edward, I mean Jacob, I mean Aaron. I'm team Aaron all the way, but I think it's kind of smart to have this other guy there, just because in life, in my personal dating experience, you either meet 9 people you're interested in, or you meet 0. So I think this is, like, 1 of 9.
That is so true. That was beautiful.
Wait, so that's where I get
it? I was saying, you either meet, like, when it rains, it pours.
Oh, yeah. Right. Or there's a drought.
Oh, I agree.
And she's a pretty girl.
It's 100%
true,
yeah.
She's a pretty girl. Keyword girl. Small child.
Yeah. But also, she has an appeal because she's this girl who doesn't go to USD but is allowed to audit her art class.
And she's been to juvie, yo.
And she's been to juvie, yeah.
She's a bad girl.
Okay.
You're bad. And your friend's bad, too. Okay.
Hey. Hey. I'm just kidding.
She knows Felice.
Embarrassing.
Wow.
Oh my God,
sorry.
Jeff.
Wow. This is so upsetting.
Wait, can we talk about how Emma's Jewish?
Oh my God. They gonna just throw that at me and we not catch it?
Yeah.
Jeff and I got
Y'all
irrationally
it.
Excited over the fact that Emma was at a dinner with her parents and they exposed her Judaism. Thank you.
Did they? We know that before?
I don't think so.
What a fun fact.
One
super
of
fun
us.
Fact. One of y'all got so stoked. Steph, like, felt like she was Jewish.
They're so bad.
I'm Jewish.
We need more representation.
I'm an Angelino, okay? I'm an honorary Jew.
I'm not even going to mention that she doesn't even look Jewish. Why would I say that on air?
She doesn't. Actually, sidebar, I got my DNA test results back for, like, my genetics my makeup. As a surprise to nobody, 73% Ashkenazi Jewish.
73.
Yes, yes.
That's so much.
Which,
what was the rest?
It was, like, Italian, Balkan, like, mostly European.
So essentially what you look
and
like.
And some Middle Eastern a little bit, but it was like, pretty funny because I... 73%, you know, like, I said to my parents, the first thing I said to them when I got the results back, I said, you know, you two are probably related. Because the Ashkenazi Jewish line is so strong. It dates back 1,000 years. Like, we literally fought people off to stay alive. And, like, most people that are Ashkenazi are related. So
and
like,
Hitler didn't help the situation.
Is that why I'm so messed up, Mom and Dad?
He did not
eighth cousins? Like, oh my God.
That's why you're allergic to everything.
Maybe. Probably. Maybe, Jeff. Maybe. I wonder if Emma is Ashkenazi as well. We shall see.
We're exposing all your drama.
Oh, God.
I think it's kind of nice.
You're related to Emma. Is that the point of this?
Yes. Let me text Amanda right now.
No, she's definitely not Sephardic.
No.
Okay, let's talk about Jesus and the Caesar salad.
What? Oh my God!
What?
I'm like,
what? Jesus and what?
Caesar.
Oh, Caesar. Oh. Caesar salad. Caesar salad.
Oh my
great.
God! Right, creamy or?
Caesar.
Well, I thought it was really great to bring in more of that TBI research with Mariana counting how long the seizure was, because that's so something good. That is yeah. very common. You know, you have to like sort of keep track of how long they are, and that moment. I thought was scary, but it was also really nice because regardless of the situation, she immediately
boom exactly
went yeah. into like it was like fight mode. She mm-hmm. was like, "Okay, we're in this situation."
Mississippi. She yeah. looked so. I loved how scared she looked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking like back if it was me at this party and I'm watching my brother dancing when he has a TBI, I'm going to be livid. But also, it's like this is literally mm-hmm. life or death. Don't yeah. put me in this situation.
Which, by the way, for me, makes me feel like I understand his aggression even more. I didn't agree. Realize... You're telling me I can't dance? Seriously. I can't move that much? Like, I'm already, like, stuck in the house, but that's... Dancing right? is a form of therapy,
this
but that's illuminated to him.
It ain't illegal, honey.
I know, but it's like, oh, man, just...
It does.
I guess
feel,
move only your hips or something. What are yeah. you supposed to do? That's just so sad.
It does kind of feel like he's not allowed to do anything.
Anything. Ugh, that's exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, he can't.
I know.
While he heals. Ugh. So, yeah.
He doesn't even have a TV in his room. What is he doing up there? He can't even do anything else because his medicine's interfering with that.
Right.
So it's not like he could have some Jesus time.
Exactly. And we all know he loves that Jesus time.
Well, that's why he has a roommate, Jude.
Jesus.
Where is Jude?
Well, Jude then is not playing the video games because they don't have a TV in the room.
Yeah. He had the handheld thing. Jude watched 2017.
Like, too bad we can't be like, well, you know what, Jesus? Maybe join some boxing classes. That'll help with your aggression. Oh, wait.
He can't.
No.
Nothing.
Okay, then
he needs to do some like swim therapy.
By the way, Jesus' time would have been at least some movement there, okay.
right?
But he can't do that.
But, like, he needs to like start like drawing or something. Like, is he artistic at all? Do we know if he like likes to draw? Or,
no,
like,
that was the
like
problem.
That?
Is that he had more athleticism than anything else?
He likes building. He's the carpenter. Yeah. He wants to build the treehouse.
Okay, well then maybe he should start drawing and do architecture then. Can we reroute?
He could like paint the treehouse.
Exactly.
I don't know.
There's gotta be something.
I loved the response to Lena's fight with him of saying, "What are you gonna do? You can't do anything." And she was like, "Oh, I can do everything, honey. I'm grounding you.
That's
grounding
my
you forever.
Probably my favorite scene today.
Yeah,
I liked that.
It just made it so clear why Lena is so wound up because mm-hmm. she is focused on the future and mm-hmm. livelihood of her child.
Right. Yeah. But that's the thing, though. It's a parent. And I know I come from a different background where I guess I'm a little bit more used to, like, aggression. But at the end of the day, who wears the pants in the family? This is your child. Yeah. They have to listen. They are under your roof. Right. He needs to get it together. And that's why I said, if Brandon does push him a little bit harder the last episode, which nothing happened from that, okay, like, wake Jesus up. He needs to understand. He's just kind of getting his way, and they keep babying him too much. Yes, the situation sucks, but you need to listen. And because you're my child, you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. Point blank, period.
I liked watching her fear in deciding to get mad at him, though.
Of course, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
she's
seeing
so beautiful
that switch
with her emotions.
In her and be, like, terrified to lay down the law because she doesn't know what the reaction will be by that, even, was really cool to watch.
Him
she
grabbing that was a good moment because he did it enough to where you thought he was going to throw it, and she... was scared enough but stayed there.
Yes.
So you're just like, oh, what's gonna happen?
Yeah.
But she's like, no, do it. I dare you. And he
enough
got
is
scared,
enough.
You see? And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Go, Lena!
That was great.
Yeah. Get it, mama.
Yeah. I want to see him doing some stuff with Gabe. I think that's going to be helpful.
I think so, too.
Well, Gabe's back.
So. And the productive. Mom's coming back into the room, which I loved so much. He just wants to be loved.
See, I actually didn't need that scene just because I know they love him.
Yeah, but you know, but they didn't, they haven't, how do you say?
Well, they needed to come together. I think that was the point of it. Mm-hmm. It was like, they
and
had their moment.
And affection's a torment. Look, he's been tripping the F out about not having Emma. He could just be a very tactile person.
Yeah.
He probably needs, like, his mom to come and hold him, someone to just give him some love because that's what he's used to. That Five Languages of Love. That could easily be his language, his love language. Mm-hmm. And if he's not getting affection, physical affection, maybe he's not feeling loved. And that's important for any person.
Good point.
I agree. So we need to talk about Ximena.
Yeah.
And she had that confrontation with the police about the warrant, and it seems like we're being very unfair, and she knew her rights, thankfully. But her being undocumented and talking about the current political climate, she didn't say those words, current political climate, but this is the most directly political thing that was seen on the TV show all series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dealing just what is going on in America in 2017 and her DACA status, like not wanting to bring it back.
I had never heard of DACA. I've heard of like the Dream Act.
Yes.
But the DACA was new to me, so I'm glad that they explained it.
My understanding is the Dream Act is for kids who they got the Dream Act like before they came.
My sister's under DACA also.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a citizen now, but she became a citizen when she was 18. So she was also undocumented. But the thing is that things are so much different now because at one point you were able to get your residency and only have that. And then she had to wait to become a naturalized citizen, like, you know, however many years, and then it happens.
And so she was here and applied for DACA.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they did the application for it, her for her specifically, but she was okay. My parents were like,
that's,
you know,
very
that's
fortunate.
Little, yeah.
Because I know people that came in through the Dream Act. So they came from somewhere to here, and now they're super scared about what's going to happen because of our president.
Mm-hmm. Right. And because the Dreamers, as we call them, they are documented. And so we have lists of their names and addresses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's so crazy? There are people on work visas, too, who are like on thin line also. You know, like I have friends who can't even leave the country not to visit family because they're afraid they can't get back in.
Yeah.
And it's like ridiculous.
Yeah, just with this and like the homeless youth and the child pornography, we're getting into political territory. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of incredible how not heavy-handed it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not like, and we're taking a stand against the president.
Right.
It's just like, here's an issue.
Right.
And here's why it's more complicated today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, even on top of those things that you had just mentioned, the storyline at the college directly reflecting Milo Yiannopoulos at like Berkeley.
Yeah.
When like that whole thing was happening, when he wasn't allowed to speak there because the students ended up, you guys know who he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he is an extremely hateful person. Same deal. It was like just basically mirroring his, except with a female. So I appreciated them bringing in as much as a lot of what's happening today into the story. I think that it's important because it kind of backhandedly exposes people to those things. You know, maybe people that are a little bit younger that watch Freeform maybe don't keep up on the news in that way. So this is a really cool way of kind of informing people about what's could be happening.
Yeah, right. And that you are able to stand up for things if you are unhappy, like at a college campus, and or at any part of your life.
But also how you have to be careful because Poppy had every reason to be scared.
Oh, sure.
You know? She had as much, and that's the thing, though. It's like, for me, I felt her way, too, and as much as she was sitting in the car, I think Callie was right. Like, that's awesome that you want to stand for your rights, but sweetheart, no matter how, like, and I've, from experience, no matter how perfect your English is because of the color of your skin and because you're brown as F, girl, they're going to say something about it and they're going to do something about it. So you have to be careful. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've, like, literally my entire life had to just make sure that when I speak, and I know I'll be, like, tripping sometimes with y'all, but, like, in, like, a public place or if I need to be taken seriously, this is my white girl voice. I absolutely change it. I've become very professional so that I can be taken seriously. Okay. But it's stupid because otherwise they discriminate against you. And she could have just, they could have, for whatever reason, could have been like, you know what, blah, blah, and made something.
Right.
She can't speak out as much as she thinks she can.
Well, and along with that conversation in the car between them, like Callie trying to give her justification as to why she didn't sign the petition of all things, and that's when she's wanting to stay under the radar.
Because she saw perspective.
It was just crazy to me, though, because Callie, I'm like, of all things to stay under the radar about, this isn't something that you're going to get, like, arrested for. This is taking a stand on something that, like, really matters and isn't going to fully put you into danger. You know what I mean? And I just thought that that was an interesting choice to show her, I don't know, fearing for her life under that. I was like, really? This doesn't seem like the thing, Callie.
Right.
And yet she had no problem going and standing behind Ximena and Poppy in front of the cops when Callie has just such a wonderful reputation with the cops.
It's
true. I was
true.
Like, it just seemed like a...
That's true, except for the fact that Callie's reputation isn't heard of until it's like in court. She still has that pretty face and those pretty eyes.
Also, when necessary, her mother is a police officer.
Exactly.
True.
And so she has like certain privileges. Jimena
said herself, she has the luxury of not being able to be silent, of not having to worry about so much.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to backfire. I mean, I just know, like, when you are, when you have, like, Callie's entire senior project was about, like, all her paperwork and, like, all these things that she's been through and how she's been to juvie multiple times and how she's been in all this trouble and, like, that just doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. So it gives people more of a reason to, like, want to, you know, like what we saw in the preview, I think it was her being dragged off the stage. So I just feel like... it's just going to keep working against her. Like, when she's in a position of getting in trouble, I don't think that that file helps her. I think it hurts her. Whereas, if it was me and I don't have a rap sheet or anything like that, like, they're going to be easy on me. But, like, oh, she's a troublemaker. So, like, we need to use her as an example.
I agree completely. And yet, this is a new, mature Callie that we've not seen. And we've seen tremendous growth lately. And hopefully, we'll see that when it comes to, like, choosing to act. During these moments.
I think they're showing proper growth in regards to her age and what she's been through, especially now that she's going to be exposed to, you know, college students, and everyone knows, like, you learn the most, or you kind of stick with your actual political ideas or whatever it is once you get into this environment. So I'm excited for her to rid herself of whatever ignorance she has left and then kind of take charge on, like, anything that she decides to fight for.
Yeah. And we're talking about her remaining silent. Two people that did not remain silent were Brandon and Grace.
Oh, jeez.
On stage. Was it Brandon Canyon or...
Brandon Canyon.
Brand Canyon. Okay, Brandon
Canyon. Was it? Or was it Brand Canyon? I don't know. Maybe it was Brand Canyon.
Brand Canyon.
Okay, please get off the stage. Thank you.
That was interesting to me because we've set him up as an almost musical prodigy who can do no wrong on stage. Yeah, and so for the first time, we're seeing him falter.
Oh, right, but if I was up in that place, I'd be like,
Also, I mean, he is 17. He's not going to always have it worked out.
It was kind of amazing, though.
Like, not the correct Jesus audience. Like,
oh, I can't watch this right now.
I was like, Jesus. I'm like, oh, me this too. Is amazing. Oh,
my heart was like in the pit of my stomach, and I felt embarrassed. And I was like, oh, no, don't do this, please.
I was so embarrassed.
I was so embarrassed.
Like, you can't do that.
Especially because she's, like, so cute and dainty with her little guitar, and I'm like, get out of here. At least he looks like he'd have some grunge, but she's just, like, cute.
Read the room.
Legit.
Learn how to
come on, y'all.
Also, this is a space of derby women raising money.
Yeah.
There was a female rock band. Mm-hmm. It's mainly people of color, and you are two white people. And this might just not be, like, the space where you need to be heard.
Well, they were... No, but Grace, she's not white.
She's not white.
I don't know her nationality.
I guess... She ain't white. David's... Oh, wait, no, his... Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking, like, real life David. Because I heard he's Boricua, so...
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Oh, sorry, Puerto Rican?
We're both like, huh? Okay. That was lovely, but what?
So they're setting up some drama between Grace getting upset that Courtney lives with Brandon, and now Courtney is now staying another week after Brandon said she'd be gone the next day.
Mm-hmm. That's going
to
cause some tension.
We don't know what's going to happen there, but what do we think is going to happen with Courtney and Gabe? We were joking that they are going to hook up. Is that because we were making things up, or did we hear something about that?
Well, we saw the interaction between Gabe and Courtney like two episodes ago on a preview.
Oh. Well, so, they are two attractive people.
No, I don't care. Courtney, get a life. Get off the show. Wait, what are you doing here?
Stop the after show. Stop the tape. I just said something nice about Courtney.
I know you did. It like really took me completely back.
I just threw up my mouth.
I can't F with you right now.
Okay, fine. We can move on. Let's move on to the preview. We have some to talk about. Let's do some predictions.
Okay.
So the things we saw in the preview, we saw Brandon Snacky? what did I write down? Excuse me.
I have no idea. It looks like Snaily from here.
Brandon does something. We also saw Callie and Aaron fighting about Petition Boy.
Mm-hmm. Not about the boy, just about the petition.
Petition. Oh, okay. Yes, you're right.
Not about the boy. We're not there yet.
Brandon doing the... We'll figure it out. And then we also saw...
What did he do?
The moms threatening to arrest Jesus.
Yes.
Again, tough love. And I remember growing up and hearing that from other people, like, all the time. Remember Jerry Springer? They used to have to take him to, like, the food camp. Tough love. Those when kids are bad, you gotta let them know the love is around.
I yeah, love that right. Jerry Springer
was. Is that what you watched as a kid in San Diego? My parents let me watch that.
That taught you discipline.
My sister Jerry Springer. Would always sneak it. I didn't like it. I'm like, why do you watch that? That's why you fight so much.
Oh my gosh.
But my point was, tough love is true and it's very necessary sometimes.
Okay. As we said, we also saw Jude in the preview.
Yes. Thank God.
When did we see Jude in the preview?
He was looking at the computer. He was still gaming.
For a second.
That's what he was doing in the preview. He was on the computer.
I don't know. All I know is that people love to call us out on Twitter, and Emma actually said she was Jewish before this episode.
Did she really?
Did she really?
Oh. Yeah, she brought Kugel to Steph's dad's funeral.
Oh, I do remember that.
Because it's customary to bring food.
Yes, because of Shiva, right?
When you sit Shiva.
Excuse me, Shiva.
Yeah. But yeah, everyone called us out, so thank you for
that. She was like a Hindu god.
Okay, well, they called out our joy. It was like they were just trying to suck the joy, so suck it, okay?
Are we still allowed to be happy for it? Jeez.
God, joy suckers.
No, I'm so happy about it.
Have any concrete predictions to share before I close this party down, like the police?
I don't think we do, to be honest.
We have four more episodes.
We're getting to 100.
Yeah.
That's it? And they've been doing Jude like this all season?
Wait, there's just 9 episodes this season?
But he's had good scenes.
This week is episode 5. Oh, no, my math is wrong. 5 more episodes. Oh my God,
we don't remember Emma's Judaism and our math is bad.
Oh, awful.
Darn it.
So awful. Oh, 5 tweets already that I got it wrong. No, just kidding. Sorry. It's been a long day, people.
Let's say goodbye.
Yes, please.
To the world. Steph, take us out.
Okay. Ooh, I'd never do it first. I was like, how do I start? You can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie and on Instagram at the Stephanie Georgie.
You can find me on Twitter at Jillian Leff, on Instagram at Jillian Leff, and continue to call me out because I feed on it.
Yeah. Y'all can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the Hot Chat Dude.
And I'm on Twitter at JeffMasters1. I also host the interview series called LGBT Q&A, so check some stuff out there. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.